something really loudly?
Like yell? Because I'm talking normally right now. You want me to talk louder?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what I needed. Why would you question me if I say, I need you to do this? Why would you be like...
No, I didn't. I just didn't know exactly in what capacity you needed me to do that.
That's what I needed.
Such an uncomfortable desk chair because I used to get my guests to sit in the cushy office chair.
Oh, yes.
It squeaks.
Oh.
And every time they move, you can hear it in the playback.
Okay.
Which means you could hear it like the listeners would hear it.
You've got quite the microphone set up over there.
I know. I fucking love it. And you know what? If Paul hadn't put a moratorium on spending on anything related to the podcast.
Yeah.
I'd have, like, in a dream podcast studio.
Well, why can't you have an allowance and then you can use your allowance towards whatever you want?
Because he feels like whatever allowance is already going out in my other very expensive hobbies, like cross-stitching and...
But that's what I mean. If you get an allowance, then you can determine if you want to do cross-stitching stuff this month or if you're gonna save for the next 2 months and you're going to buy a piece of something you want here.
I think the reason why we never got... onto that type of a routine is because we could never agree on an allowance amount.
Right.
Like, it's 2023. I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yes.
I shouldn't have to have my husband approve my spending purchases. Now, I get that I have some history. I have some history that,
right.
You know, I'm going to play the...
Yeah.
The
But if you have the history, then it should make sense that you guys would have a conversation and say, okay, what is my allowance? Which goes the other way. What is your allowance? What is my allowance of the...
Oh, no. He never spends any money. So he'd be constantly showing me how he didn't spend his allowance. And I'd be like, what? I don't want... This is not going to work for me. It was the same thing about, you know, how some couples have separate bank accounts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a couple having separate bank accounts. I know there's sort of always been this trope out there that says, you know, if you have your finances separate, you've got one foot out the door. It just makes it that much easier.
Yeah, Neil absolutely does not understand how if any couple has been together for any amount of time, because we don't know any different. We got together when we had no money. So,
yes.
Right, as you grow and you get, but like us, it's just like it's always just been one pot. He literally does not understand why people have to.
You're like Kyle and Maurizio.
Oh, well, don't say that. That's like now.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, my God, now you're hexing me.
No, sorry, okay.
Which
I'll pick another.
I got to say, that is shocking to me. I know we're not talking about housewives.
I was shocked too.
But I'm like, but this is my theory on that.
Oh, I would love to hear your theory on that.
The last couple of years, it was getting pretty open how Maurizio likes to play with the whatever. I don't know if it's just cannabis or mushrooms or whatever that is.
Okay. Yeah.
She stopped drinking. She decided, I'm going to stop drinking for whatever the period was she picked. Let's pretend it was 3 months. She really liked how it made her feel. She kept not drinking. Well, when you're not drinking, there's probably shit, I'm sure, that you're going to look back and go, you know what? I was always really accommodating to this. Oh, my God. Now that that's really what I think probably happened of nobody really understanding what was happening. But he kept doing what he always did.
Right.
Right. They've been together forever.
Which was have fun.
She all of a sudden goes, I'm going to now focus on this. I'm not going to drink anymore. And I'm sure she was probably waking up going.
You're not nearly as funny without any wine.
Right.
Okay, that's actually an amazing theory.
I think it's probably connected to her not drinking anymore.
But what which really the underlying theme there is just they grew apart for different reasons. Like they're looking for different things, right?
Did you see the last episode?
No, I haven't. I thought she stopped drinking, but she was doing the cannabis and whatever else too.
She's doing nothing. She's just focusing on working out and doing her, yeah.
Do you think she's on Ozempic?
I really don't, because she's just, she works out every day. Now, Erica Jane is.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing.
The bank accounts and the money and the...
Oh, yeah, right. Back to the bank accounts and the finances and stuff. Oh, yeah, I don't feel like I should have to have an allowance. I feel like I should be responsible for my own discretionary spending.
I know, but you've already said throughout your relationship, it's already been determined you don't have that.
No, I know, but just because I wasn't... Just because I wasn't responsible in the past doesn't mean I can't be responsible. Do you think
you could exercise that now?
I feel like I do.
Yeah, but you did then. I feel like I think that I think too. The difference is that you and Paul have a different different expectation of what is discretionary expenditures.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Different definition. For
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So therefore you'd have to come up with some type of agreement of what your allowance is going to be, because it's never just going to be wide open.
No, that's right. And it's whatever you need to do in your relationship. So,
right.
Probably the two things we have not turned out to be a couple that spends a lot of time fighting.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure why that is. But if there were two topics that we did argue about, it was probably always money and sex. Those were probably
relationship as you're going through as a young couple and having a family. I feel like that are the top two issues.
Because when you're young and you have a young family, you get caught up into a lot of this division of labor stuff.
Right? Not when we were growing up.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay, well, I used to bitch. Kim, I have heard you bitch about Neil not doing what you felt was his fair share of the household responsibilities. You felt like you always felt like you did 80% of the work.
Okay, this is super interesting to hear this back. Because this... I always really felt like when we had a young family.
Are you gaslighting me?
No. I hope not.
So, in your mind, you felt like you were like, oh my God, Neil, he does 50% of all the stuff with the kids.
No, but I never ever had an expectation. Okay, no. So, just to be clear to make sure I know what we're talking about.
I didn't mean to.
So, when we were a young family, for me, I always expected I would take care of the inside stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Like, so it was never a question. Now, Neil would do like laundry or whatever, but it's like essentially the inside was me mm-hmm. that kept it organized. Mm-hmm. He did the outside stuff, even though he would whine about it when like the outside stuff, let's be real, it's three times a year. I don't know. the kids stuff? Oh, there, no question. Yes, I probably did. Yeah. Complain about the kids stuff. And you know what's interesting? We are grandparents.
Mm.
That's a big thing. So I'm about the grandkids.
He's no more helpful.
He does sit in the room with us, but he is on his phone. Right? So every Wednesday night, the boys come over. We have supper.
Do you go pick them up?
No, she drops them off after daycare. Okay. Because they're both in daycare. So she drops them off. And they are so from basically 4:30 to 8 o'clock. Like that's, we have them. Neil sits in the living room, which is funny because we're always in the living room. So I'm sure my grandkids are going to grow up to go, I don't know why Nana and Grumpy never had a TV. Because we're always in
That's
the living
how
room.
Old you are. You're like before TV grandparents.
Right? Because what happens is we're in the upstairs and we bring all of their toys. Like we've got a bunch of toys and we just bring them all upstairs and everybody's playing.
I have seen your house since you have converted your main floor living room into a daycare / zoo.
Right. So it's that. And we spend a lot of time at the dining room table playing Play-Doh and the magic sand and all of that stuff. Right.
See, I don't want to do any of those things.
You think you don't.
No, I feel like I know I don't. Like, I feel... So how we started this conversation was I was telling you that I was looking up little activities. Mm-hmm. My niece is coming for Christmas mm-hmm. and she's getting ready to turn 4 years old mm-hmm. and I want to be... Like, I am secure in my position right now. She has two aunts on her father's side.
Yep.
And I'm number one.
Well, of course you are.
Thank you. I'm numero one with a bang.
Yeah.
And I do not want to lose that status. And my sister-in-law is also going to be here this Christmas. And it's her first time meeting our niece.
So what did she think about coming to Canada last year? Was she too young? I mean, she was three.
This summer.
Oh.
She was three and a half.
So what did she...
She had grown up talking to her grandparents on the iPad.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
So it's like she knew who these people were. She was born literally 3 days China shut down.
Right. Right.
Like it took forever to get her paperwork and all that kind of stuff straightened out. In preparation for her first visit, I wanted to sort of like, you know, start securing the position. Have some
things planned.
So I broke out the balloon tent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and we had it set up in our entryway, and it was filled with Sassy Pants colored balloons, pink and purple and white and all that stuff. She loved that balloon tent. Kristen said she's still talking about that balloon tent. And the first day I met her, I wore my crown.
Did you have one for her?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And it took her like a second to warm up, which I think is normal. But when she was like, okay, there's some fun stuff happening here. So now she thinks I'm a princess. She thinks our house is a castle. And she wants to go back and visit the princess in the castle. So I have to make sure
I know.
So I have some ideas. I'm going to be wearing my full princess regalia gown and everything for the murder mystery night.
Oh, okay.
Now, she won't get to see that.
You should have an outfit for her.
Well, I have
a full on
my Halloween costume that I didn't get to wear because I did go to a Halloween party, but the girls I went to the Halloween party with didn't want to dress up. And I didn't want to be like the one out of four. Like there were four of us going. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be the only one dressed up. Plus my costume is a ballerina princess.
Yeah. So do you have an outfit for her to also wear?
Oh, I better get her a ballerina princess outfit, too. You absolutely
have to get her some type of princess dress that she is going to, so that you guys can both, absolutely.
That is a good call. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I could make it, like, all in a box, and that can be one of her Christmas presents. Yes. And we can dress up together in our ballerina. And Kim, I can't wait for you to see me in this princess ballerina outfit.
Is this the same outfit that you had for your 50th birthday?
No.
Oh, okay.
For my 50th birthday, I had a full gown, right?
Yeah.
And the crown. For this outfit, I have a tutu.
Okay.
A ballerina tutu.
Yep.
Okay. I have a leotard.
I'm just laughing at the word leotard.
Well, it doesn't help when you see me in the leotard because I look like the chubbiest, plumpiest ballerina. Okay, my boobs are enormous. And I look absolutely ridiculous. And then I got myself the tights, like a pair of white tights, and ballet slippers, ballet shoes. Okay. And then I want to wear my crown.
Why are you going with the ballerina tutu thing? Like instead of like a princess theme? You know what I mean?
Well, because I thought I was wearing this costume to the Halloween party. And the problem with the full princess regalia is it takes up a lot of space.
Okay.
Okay, it's not easy to maneuver. And I thought it's going to be a crowded party, a crowded bar. Maybe there's dancing. Like, I went to the Fox and Hound.
Well, you didn't look like you were in a costume when you sent me that picture.
No, I told you I didn't wear a costume because the other girls I was going with didn't want to wear a costume.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Right. So it was a friend of mine, this great guy that recorded for the Back to the 80s podcast. It was his band playing at the bar. So I wanted to go dressed as a princess, but I needed it to be sort of like an express princess outfit, not like the full princess outfit.
Yeah.
So that led me into tutus, which led me into leotards because I couldn't find a dress that fit, that was whatever. So I jerry-rigged this ensemble.
Okay.
And how I justified it for the white tights, I bought thigh-high stockings and I thought, ooh, well,
nice.
Those can double for sex, mm-hmm. and then Paul's not going to say anything about what I've spent on this stupid ballerina, back to the discretionary spending, mm-hmm. if I can work it into some type of sex shenanigan,
right,
then
right.
my discretionary spending allowance increases.
So that's what you're going to wear for the murder mystery? The thigh high?
No. Okay. No, the thigh highs were just for... Which didn't help at all because thigh okay, highs are just for my husband. And now I have to go out and buy real right. tights to wear right. to be decent.
Right.
Yeah, so murder mystery theme night.
Yep.
Full princess regalia.
Yeah, you're absolutely going to need to get her an outfit. So.
Well, she's not going to see that outfit, but definitely if I plan on wearing the ballerina outfit, she needs a ballerina outfit too.
Yeah.
But she's going to look adorable. Yeah. She's got a cute little adorable 4-year-old slim body, right. and she's going to be dressed as a ballerina. Brina, she'll be dressed as a ballerina in her adorable little perfectly proportioned 4-year-old body. I feel really confident about my ballerina costume, except for the top. I'm very chesty in this leotard.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better top. I'm happy with the skirt. I'm happy with the tights. I'm happy with the ballet slippers. Mm-hmm. I wish the top was a little more flattering.
How do you know the ballerina costume is going to go with the murder mystery night?
Okay, I can't, like, do I need to put this on a whiteboard? Like, you're really struggling here.
Sorry.
Yeah, you need to see it on a calendar. So first of all, let's just make sure our audience is updated on what's happening okay. here, okay? So my extended family is coming home for Christmas for the first time in very many years. More right. than 10, possibly 15. For I don't Christmas, know. Right. Yes, I would have to like dig in for that number. But
first time in over a decade, everybody will be home with their children now celebrating gosh, yeah. Christmas together.
Yes. There's this comedian named Tom Papa. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's really funny. He's got this bit about a family is not a good working organization at home, so why would you ever take it on vacation? Like, it's just going to be...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be 11
more
people...
More chaotic.
And a small, barky dog who we can't do murder mystery night at their house because right. the dog would shred my princess dress because he jumps on you with his little nails.
I never thought about that when you were saying how everybody's coming home... they all have kids.
Yes.
And they all are going to be staying at the parents' house.
Yeah.
That is going to be absolutely exhausting.
All that says yeah. to me is migraine, migraine, migraine. And I think that is so sad because it's like I want to be able to lean in and enjoy these family activities. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I don't know. I feel like I'm missing out or I don't know how to explain it. Like,
no, you can only do what you do.
It's just right? yet another area where I feel like this migraine situation is impacting what I would like to be doing better, if that makes any sense at all.
I don't know. It seems like you got a handle on it. You're already starting to do plans and you got a couple things done. Let's not forget, there's like 11 other people.
Yeah.
Most of them adults that, hey, they can sort out their own shit as well.
So, yes, yes.
And I'm sure that even each family, yeah, and I'm sure they want to have their own time too. Like, just even if it's like, let's just get in a fucking car and go for a drive. You know what I mean? Like, because it's going to be a lot for everybody.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's going to be so much. It's terrifying. And even for Paul and I, sounds terrible, but even to have my own kids home who I love.
It's a lot.
It's still a lot. I've been reading a lot online about mental load. I see it on TikTok. It's about trying to explain to people how certain things you do can significantly increase someone's mental load. So an example that they use all the time is, you know, busy mom and dad raising a young family. The dad's always like, hun, do you know where the whatever is? So you don't think it's a big deal to ask your partner, but when you go through an understanding of what happens in a person's brain that's already busy and you're giving them a new task and what they like, you should just do it yourself is kind of the message. Like, stop putting all these things on other people.
Oh, that's
as I'm explaining it to you, it kind of sounds a scooch toxic. Is that in the right direction or what am I getting there? Do you understand what I'm, the concept?
I do understand the concept. I will say, it also, what I'm hearing, lends itself to what I say often, COVID has made us all very lazy and out of social shape, even mental shape. This is what has happened through COVID. We've become complacent and out of practice of literally being around people and doing what we normally did forever.
Well, think of the amount of stimulation you're getting going into an office environment. All the different stimuli that's coming at you compared to when you're working from home, right? So what do you think about this whole movement to try to get everybody back into the office?
Is there?
There is. And I have opinions about it, but I'm not working. Know. Paul told me yesterday we had to go to the mall. Mm-hmm. It was actually really nice.
I was going to say, does he go to the mall with you? Because Neil won't even go to Costco with me.
It depends what kind of mood he's in and how much he's got going on. Mm-hmm. But he had taken the afternoon off, which was really nice because we had a little bit. Yeah, it was nice. I enjoyed that. Because sometimes I worry, you know, when he stops working, is he going to drive me crazy, right? And but it was like, oh, okay, no, that was nice. I can deal with that. But it's clear that we are both going to need separate interests, which I don't think there's anything wrong with, but whatever.
You guys have that now.
Right. So as we were driving into the mall, we went in the entrance where the TD.
Toys R Us.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And he said, oh, did you hear they told everyone they had to go back to work? And I was like,
I did not hear that.
Probably because... Do you know how much money they spent on that renovation before they opened, right? Do you remember?
Well,
it used to be Sears. I mean, they did a lot. It's probably the idea of we spent so much money on this building. Mm-hmm. How can there be no people in it? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to solve for that. I get it.
And here's the thing. I'm really now of... I love that there's flexibility.
Yes.
I do think it's impacting us as people. There's no question. The flexibility is wonderful.
You don't just mean impacting you as work people. You mean impacting you as human people.
Human people, but truly even work-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
The way you collaborate, the way you can get in a room, it's not, it is not the same. Yeah. And even though everybody loves working from home, they all say the same thing. It's not the same, especially when you're trying to actually, solve for something. The when we used to get in a, and who knows, the generation behind us are going to have no reference. But for us, I still hear this very often. Oh my God, it is so great to get in a room and then we can just write stuff out and we can, there's something different that you can't do that when you're all remotely on a meeting.
Okay, it's so bizarre to me how... We do this every time with no preparation, no advance warning. It's like you and I have some kind of a little bit of a psychic link. Mm-hmm. Because when I asked you if you wanted to record tonight, which, number one, thank you so much for coming over to visit me. It makes me so happy.
We were just coming to hang out. We were not going to do this.
Yeah, okay. I feel really bad about that because I feel
like... Or maybe you did.
I thought that we had progressed to a place in our friendship... Mm-hmm. Where pretty much every time we get together, we're going to record something.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Okay, I feel like...
I'm all right with that.
I got there in my own mind and then, didn't ask you if you were there too.
No, but I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay, but I don't want you
to... Because I love our conversations, so...
I know, and this is what I'm trying to get to. So what's going on with the podcast is... The best episode that we ever had was the one that Pamela and I did about Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret.
That was good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I very enjoyed that.
She did a great job. It was excellent. She's hilarious. And we do have plans to do other things together.
Yeah.
And then I did the Back to the 80s, which I had the most fun. And I was so happy that I got to do it and that... My friends were so kind to participate with me. I really enjoyed it. And it did not hit the numbers that I thought it would.
Ooh, I did not listen to that.
Right? Why not?
I didn't even know it was out there. So, okay,
It's exactly your genre, right? It's your whatever. I don't regret anything. I really enjoyed it. I got some great notes from people that I hadn't talked to in 30 years. It was great.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
why did you do a survey on stuff or something before you did it, or what?
No, I can tell by the stats, when I'm looking at the stats on each episode.
So who was on it?
It was me and a girl I went to high school with named Jennifer James, and then it was my friend Todd Schofield.
Yeah.
And this other friend of mine, Mike Schramm, who plays in the band. He was, I think, remember the night you lost, you busted your flip-flop and got lost? Mm-hmm. And we were at a party at friend's house in their big field. Remember when you got
lost? We were at the Melanson's.
No, not the point where you disappeared. Because you went back to the Melanson's to see if you could find us.
The point I disappeared, I was with Scott and Luann Trenum.
Yes, well, that field we were in, that place we were
in. Just right in your backyard.
Right. to be fair, not exactly. But Mike Schramm and his wife were also at that party that night. I think. I might be mixing
up. What's his wife's name?
Stacy. Mm. She's red-haired, really blue eyes. She's very sweet. Anyway, they're great people.
Yep.
Great. So it was the four of us. So we're four people who are all the same age and graduated from school together. And, like, Mike and I have been in school since fourth grade together. Oh, wow. He was my first kiss and my very big grade 4, 5, and 6 crush.
Oh, okay.
And Todd, my friend Todd, we've known each other since the 7th grade.
Yeah.
He was my big grade 8 crush, and I have a funny story about him, too. So we talked about all of this in the podcast. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, okay. I must check it out.
You must check it out.
Yes, I will.
Very similar to the couple of episodes that you and I do have up and running, mm-hmm. they didn't do as good numbers-wise as I thought we would be a bigger hit. But I still think the problem is people don't know it's there.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Because I can't believe
I feel like that, too.
I can't believe how many people I've run into. It's like, oh, did you know about my podcast? And they're like, no, I don't know anything about your podcast. It's like, oh, there are people out there that are like, if she's this podcast one more fucking time, I'm going to, like, lose it. And then there's, like, all these people that I thought would know that have no idea. Unless they're just pretending they have no idea to be nice to me.
Well, how do you advertise?
Facebook. And that is not... I'm only getting a narrow demographic there.
I was just going to say, but Facebook is not the go-to social platform anymore.
I know that, but I can't learn any more platforms. That is not going to happen. I am done. That part of my journey is finished.
Like, what about Twitter? I'm saying words now.
I know. Well, Twitter is not Twitter anymore. Twitter is X, and it belongs
to... What?
Yes, and it belongs to Elon Musk, and it's full of all this fucking right-wing conservative propaganda that whatever.
Okay.
So then they tried to make, like, a left-wing Twitter, and that's called Thread. I don't know what that is.
What if you go back and
I don't even have Snapchat.
What if you, like, maybe, like, email and fax people?
Okay, it's so funny that you said that, because in my mind I'm like, okay, you need to do a mailer campaign. You need to get some flyers and drop them in people's mailboxes. And Paul's like, Danielle, it's 2023.
We'll go to the parking lots and put them on everybody's
car. Oh, my God, on everybody's car. Hey, that would hit because people haven't seen that in a long time. They'd be like, what the hell? There's paper in my car.
It's like everything else. It's like a cycle, right? You always go back to the old.
Well, anyway. That's why I got those podcast business cards, because I hand out a piece of cardboard to people.
Yeah.
But I only, it's like if I see people I know or whatever.
Oh my God, I know, but business cards are still a real thing. Neil still has a ton of them in his truck, like all the different contractors and like, you know.
I find them very useful.
That's still a thing.
So business cards and Facebook, to answer your question, the two main ways, you know, Pat has done a couple of TikToks for us and they're super cute. I don't have time to do those. I don't know how to do those and I don't have the capacity to do them. It's like I need somebody...
Snapchat, you said you're not on.
I don't even have Snapchat. Mm. Basically,
I have Snapchat, but...
Yeah, you even have WhatsApp?
Oh, yeah, I've got WhatsApp because...
Who do you talk to on WhatsApp?
My sister and my niece, because they don't have iPhones, and that's the only free video call and call application that you have. So we can call each other, we FaceTime, because they don't have iPhones. So WhatsApp is how we all...
Well, that's what I use Facebook Messenger for.
I'm not on Facebook.
Okay, I would love to get off Facebook because I fucking hate Facebook.
Yeah.
But...
So I'm not on Facebook, and then
I don't know where else to
WhatsApp, and it was funny because Shane Longley introduced me to WhatsApp when I was in Saskatchewan.
It's very big in Europe.
I went out to my sister's... I think it was... think it was the first time I went out to my sister's 50th birthday party. And I had a long, like, I got dropped off because they live like 3 hours from any airport. So I got to the airport and it was going to be a long night. And then he was like, well, hey, I'm going to call you. And then he's like, do you got WhatsApp? Because we won't be charged anything.
Oh, like Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. And that's how got onto that. Then when my sister and her daughter moved off of iPhone, then it was like, well, how do we FaceTime? So this is how we, yeah.
Well, we're an Android family. Nobody has iPhone here.
Oh, well, then I can't believe you don't have WhatsApp because that allows you to video chat with people that have iPhone.
Well, I know, but the people that I want to video chat with that have iPhone, I do that through Facebook Messenger. I don't want to learn a new technology. Okay. So when you agreed,
I'm like the lone dinosaur that doesn't have Facebook.
Well, actually now it kind of makes you kind of forward thinking and trendy because Facebook is only where old people are. So you can just say you were ahead of, you know, you were hip with the times. But when we set a date to hang out, and I thought, because I reached out to you and said, you know, let's set a date. Can we hang out? One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, okay? And I sort of, a couple of things that you said upstairs make me a little wary about how this is going to go. But one of the things, and you know I mean that with all the love.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is I'm having a difficult time right now with my migraine situation.
Are you?
Yes, okay. But one of the directions this is going to go in, now that I've heard you talk a little bit, I'm wondering if it is my migraine situation. But I'm not in a good place right now. And you are one of my favorite people to go to for a pep talk. Yes? You didn't know that?
No. I'm pretty sure you're the only person in my life that would say that.
Oh my gosh, I don't believe that.
No, actually, I take that back. I feel like work-wise, I can be the person because I, you know, you fake it till you make it. But
I feel like in the past I've come to you and you've made me feel better. I have, that's the association I have of you in my mind.
Oh my God, that's super interesting. And I feel like this is what happens every time we have these kinds of conversations.
Yes.
Because I'm now going to reciprocate this to say, we just had this conversation 2 nights ago.
Okay.
I had a friend over. We were talking about work. She doesn't work there anymore.
Okay.
And I referenced how, you know, I always do this. Oh my God, I was so like lucked into, I really consider, I've worked under 2 managers, quite honestly, in my entire career. One was Katya Chesser and the other one was you.
Oh.
And I have learned so much and I respect you, even though we've known each other outside of work and we've known each other personally for so many years.
Right.
For you to say that's what you get from me, it's just super interesting because I feel like you always, whenever I come to you and I'm not in a great place or I'm negative, you show me a different perspective that I'm always like,
oh well, that's God. So cool that we see that in each other. Yeah. Well, maybe that's part of the reason we fulfill a need in each other.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. I think they call that a symbiotic relationship.
Oh. You know what I will say that I find is a little annoying in this setup?
Yeah.
Is like this whole thing blocks your face.
I love it. I love it. Do you know why? Because when I'm high, it's like you want to, for some.
Oh, you need to focus on something?
Well, I want to be like, it's like I want to be hidden. It's like I just want to be like invisible. I don't know. It's a weird, I can't explain it, but I like it. I kind of hide behind my mic a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about what I want to talk about, that's the first thing I want to talk about is
what?
Well, I don't feel like I'm in a very good place.
Oh, right.
And I also don't feel like it's okay for me to feel that way, which I know is ridiculous. Cause you know, that whole thing about talk to yourself, like you would talk to your friend. But then your internal self-talk is so negative compared to what you would say to a friend. And you try to like override that, but it's like really hard.
Yeah, because I think instinctually when we don't feel great, we are always still presenting and we're always still like encouraging other people. And nobody is really comfortable to be able to go, hey, you know what? I need some help right now.
Well, that's really sad because that means that we don't make space for people to say, that's what the millennials think is wrong with the Gen X and the boomers, that we don't make space for people to say, I'm not doing okay. I'm not doing well. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Which is not true. I just think we hold ourselves to a different standard than, I guess, which comes from even, like, nobody in the baby boomer generation is going to be like, I feel like I'm suffering a little bit mentally and I'm not going to, like, that's absolutely not a thing.
Right.
But I think that we kind of carried that on. It's only really the generation after us that it's like,
yeah,
people are like, I'm not doing okay. Or they're very open to be like, I feel like this is a toxic environment. Or, and I right. gotta say, there's a balance there for our generation.
Yeah.
You try to be respectful of it, but it's like, there's a little bit of like, oh my God, pick yourself up, get on with it.
I don't know. I feel like I like what they have to say a lot more than what our Gen X and boomers have to say.
Probably because you're not in the workplace anymore.
Oh, is that why? Maybe. Okay, so what are we going to do?
Okay, not doing well. So I'm super sorry to hear that. Oh, what can I...
Well,
what
see,
can
that I... ties into... That ties into... It makes me so uncomfortable when people show me any type of sympathy or empathy because I've never been very good at accepting compliments. Mm-hmm. But I think the crux of it, like I think at the, because I've obviously spent way too much time overthinking this and being too introspective, which is a big part of the problem. Mm-hmm. This is what I try to explain to you when I say my brain is broken. It doesn't function the way everybody's brain is supposed to function, I don't think.
I'm gonna say this to you. What you've just said.
Yeah.
I have felt like for 2 years.
Only 2 years?
I'm going to say, I don't know. And what I struggle with is, what is it COVID? Is it perimenopausal?
That's what I wanted is to talk it, about because that's another thing.
I don't know what it is because there's things that happened simultaneously. But I will tell you that I struggle every day and I have for, I'm going to say 2 to 3 years.
Does that not... scare you?
Terrifies me.
Okay. I guess the best way to describe it would be I feel overwhelmed.
Yep.
And when I think about what I have to be overwhelmed about, it seems absolutely ridiculous. And I cannot out-logic myself from feeling overwhelmed.
So it's not, and I know this isn't what you're saying, but it's not a competition. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Like when you say you've been feeling a certain kind of way for the past 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I've spent some time thinking about when was the last time I didn't feel like this.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much before my kids were born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Okay.
Which is insane because if you think of what I handled and what I went through, what I was going through 10, 15 plus years ago. I am not even exposed to a fraction of that now. And I am still overwhelmed.
So
I still feel overwhelmed all the time. And things got, I feel like so many things changed that should have made the load feel lighter. And I feel like I'm not reaping that. And is it because I'm depressed? Is it because I'm perimenopausal? Is it because I'm over 50? Is it because I have a chronic health condition?
Is it every single one of those things?
All combined
right?
together?
Is it all of that? Right?
What are you supposed to do about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Depressed was another thing that I definitely think like over the last few years that I am, which then to what we were talking about, it's like, I go, well, this is ridiculous. How can you even think that you're depressed, Kim? All your family is here now. Your grandchildren are here. Oh my God. Like you're living, how can you be?
See, that
but it's yeah. like I relate the change to how I'm working daily at work. I can't move through things the way I used to. I used to be able to knock shit out. Okay, this is my list. I know my I literally cannot. It can take me forever to knock one thing off my list. Don't know why. It's a simple, here's your list, Kim. Do it. I can't do it.
Okay, Kim, this is so bizarre because that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about, but you're experiencing the same thing? Mm-hmm. Well, that means you don't have a solution. Now we need to find someone else. You don't have an answer. What's the fucking answer? I'm just trying to get to the answer. Like, I don't know. I feel, and this is a terrible time of year for me because, so the migraine situation.
Yeah.
It's going to be 5 years in January since I got sick.
Well, when you were talking, when you made your reference, like, well, I'm going to go way back even before I had kids. I will say it probably feels like that for you because let's be real. I know you've been off for 5 years, but there was time leading up to you even actually going off of work. So
yeah,
you could potentially say the last 10 years you were not working in the same capacity of what you did, which is maybe makes your memory a little bit longer.
No, thinking, that's 100% too true. I would say that really unbeknownst to me now looking back, hindsight's 2020, I would say probably 2 years before, 2.5 years before I stopped working, I was still able to push through it. Mm-hmm. And then you hit a wall where, okay, it's gotten so bad now, there's no pushing anymore. Like you get to the point where your body's just like, sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, we're done.
Yep.
It's so fascinating to me how some people seem to, somehow their bodies don't break. Like they still seem to be able to keep going.
They do somewhere though. At some point,
yeah,
there's the crash burn. It's just a different timeline. I don't know.
I feel like there's people that it's never happened to.
Well, yeah, I guess. I think that about myself too. It's like, well, when are you just going to maybe just, I don't know. I feel like it's a real thing and I'm not dismissing that you're talking about even many, many years prior to you getting to perimenopausal age or anything. But that's why I say, like, I don't know what it is. I talk to so many, it's women, quite honestly, generally, that it's like, we go, is it the COVID? Is it perimenopausal? Is it, like, is it both? There's no question that there is a huge amount of the population that is now trying to just keep pushing through whatever that is. And I went to an, you know, and they're like, oh, we have this speaker and log into the
web. Like TED Talks and that kind of stuff.
And it was a corporate woman, and it was about menopause.
Oh, yeah?
Number one, I will say, I literally did not know that menopause was one day. You are perimenopausal, and then...
Oh, I didn't know this.
This is what she explained.
And then
You're perimenopausal. The one day that you've hit 12 months of no period is the day that you are menopausal, and then you are...
What's post-menopausal.
That? Post-menopausal.
Oh, yes. I want a party on the menopause day then.
So this woman was a big kind of, she had a very large job.
Like a corporate CEO type.
Absolutely. Yep.
How old was she?
I'm going to say maybe mid 50s. Like what? Like the day that I called into this, she was like mid to later 50s.
Okay.
But she was talking about how she was whatever the age it was. And she literally just couldn't get through things the way she used to. And
and
this was all about how people need to start talking more in the workplace. Women need to start talking more because it's not something wrong with you. It's just something that happens.
Well, do you?
So she actually do you have thought TikTok? There was something. I do have TikTok.
Do you get TikToks about menopause once in a while?
Oh,
right.
All the time.
Right.
And magnesium they talk about, and the thing. And
yeah. All and they stuff. Talk about all the things that we don't know about that are connected to menopause, joint pain.
Yes.
And it's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. Well, she literally left her corporate job because she thought there was something wrong with her.
Oh.
Right? So, because she was just, she could just no longer perform. And she was thinking it was her. And this was the entire hour. And I found it super enlightening.
So what did she do to get better?
Well, I think she got educated. She went to physicians. She looked into different things like the magnesium or the whatever. But at the end of the day, she was like, women absolutely in the workplace need to start talking about this more because number one, it is okay when you are going through this that you don't perform at the exact same level anymore, right? You need to be okay that there is going to be shifts and everybody needs to be aware of that. And I just thought, oh, I couldn't believe how many people were like bubbling me at the same time going, oh my God, I got that. Oh my God, this is... When she was talking, it was amazing how many of us in my small circle of people that I was talking to at work, right?
Could
maybe four people were all going, oh my God, the whole thing, right? You don't sleep. Like, I don't sleep. Like, don't, well, I don't. I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, the not sleeping is very common, and I have improved that significantly with cannabis. Mm-hmm. I don't have night sweats. Mm. I am not looking forward to and am somewhat terrified about that. Mm-hmm. I feel, like, I understand what you're saying, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And I feel like for the past 5 years, because of this migraine situation, that is all I have been doing, is looking for a solution to how I feel. And managing
that one.
And managing it. And now I'm telling you, after 5 years, I'm fucking done. If you give me a pill, I will take it. But this, like the other day, I was looking into what's the best diet for migraines.
Yep.
And I was reading about this migraine Mediterranean diet, because, you know, they do a lot of talking about Mediterranean diet being like the healthiest diet people should be on or whatever. And this is the migraine meditation or Mediterranean diet. And I started looking at it and I was like, oh my God, the level of effort that it would require.
And commitment.
Commitment for me to plan, shop, prepare, cook, and maintain this diet. I do not have it. You remember, you did that's a full-time job.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you did commit to it for 1 month, if you just said, okay, I'm going to commit. No.
Anything
just,
you try, you have to try for a minimum of 3 months.
Well, I'm just, whatever. Okay. If you did commit to that for whatever period you're willing to say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do this to see. Number one, it's like anything else. It just becomes regular routine. It's meal prepping. It's like once a week or whatever that is. But if you got the benefit that helped the quality of your life, do you not think that you would be committed to that? Like, we're all trained about what am I getting from this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I know exactly what you're saying. If I knew going into it that there was a good chance mm-hmm. that it would make a significant difference,
right,
I would be more open to it.
Right.
However, I tried this clean eating whatever for the first pretty much like 18 months of this journey.
Right.
I fucking hate that word. I don't know what else to call it. It's not a trip I want to take, but anyway, exile maybe. But so like for the first 18 months, I played around with gluten, dairy, sugar, salt.
Oh, yes, right.
All
yes.
this kind of stuff. Right? Because people are like, oh my God, you have migraines.
Yeah.
It's because you gluten. I gave up the gluten and it cured my migraines. And it's like you hear this stuff over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And my doctor was very clear with me. She goes, yes, try these things. Try to do it in such a way that you can really tell which one it is. And by the way, any change you make to your diet, you should probably do it for 3 months before you evaluate whether it was successful or not, mm-hmm. right? That's enough time for your body to whatever. Nothing worked and I was miserable. Mm. So then I started to say like, no, I'm going to eat what I want to eat and hell be damned or whatever the expression is. But do you think that makes me a bad person? Because I don't know. I feel like...
No, it doesn't make you a bad person.
I'm done trying. God, that sounds dismal. I went to my doctor and I said to her, I am tired all the time. I went through the whole thing with her and she said, of course you are. You're 51 years old. You're probably perimenopausal. You have a chronic illness that involves chronic pain. Mm-hmm. You are exhausted and you are going to be exhausted all the time. That makes complete sense to me. And I'm like, it makes sense to me, but where's the fix?
I don't know that there is. I think it's a matter of adapting. And I don't think it's any different than people have to adapt as they keep aging. You age a little more, right? It's like, so like Neil's mom and Bob, it's like they are still energetic, but they have to be very respectful to go like, okay, I can't keep doing that because then I'm down for like this long. Like it's adapting to what your circumstance is.
But I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and there's a little place I don't want to go into there because it's feels a little bit too much like acceptance, and mm-hmm. I haven't decided if I'm prepared to accept this or not yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily think that there's always space for that. I have a capacity to only do so much, mm-hmm. but I feel like other people, what I present to the public and what other people don't understand doesn't match up with that.
Whose does? I remember Shane saying to me years ago, oh my God, you're always on the, oh my God, you got something going on all the time, you blah, blah, blah. And I went, I think you got the wrong perception of me because I said, I require a lot of downtime. Now, this was way before I was even feeling any of this.
So do you find you need even more downtime now? Yeah, I do.
Oh my God. Weekends are not enough. I'm going to even say 3 days is not enough. I really, my preference is downtime all the time.
Yeah, I know.
All the time.
Right?
And that's not, no, that, I'm going to say, if that's my normal now. That is not what I would say over my last 15 years is what I would, I think is normal. So I'm like, even though people still like, oh, you got something going on all the time. It's like, no, because I can just sit at home and do nothing. And that's what I need.
Yeah. And that, I feel like that used to never be me.
That was never me either.
Right.
We were on the go all the time.
Yeah.
Entertaining and, oh my God, doing all this stuff. I have so lazy now.
I have had it with cooking, tidying, and I don't even, my load on that has gotten so much easier, right? I can't even handle that. If somebody said to me, you don't have to cook again and all those things, I'd be like, laundry, everything. I'd be like, all I want to do is the things that I want to do. I want to do my crafts. I want to do some of the podcast stuff, not all of the podcast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not realistic. It's so sad. Nobody gets to live their life doing exactly what they want to do.
No, but this is what I will say. This, what you are feeling is a lot more normal than what you think. Because there's all kinds of us that feel the exact same way.
And you think that is different post-COVID to pre-COVID.
Well, this is what I don't know. I don't know if it's the COVID or if it's because perimenopausal and the people that I'm talking to. There was COVID that just forced us all to just become lazy, essentially, because we couldn't go anywhere.
I really feel, Kim, that word lazy is going to... I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Unconditioned. Unconditioned maybe is a better way of saying it. It's like, to your point, when we were all going into work and we had all the stimulation and we had our life and we were all doing our regular routine, we were very conditioned to all of that. And now it's, which is kind of weird, because if you look at some of these people, even us in our age, we were very conditioned to this for that many years.
Yeah.
And then 2 years of home, not doing,
and we lost it.
It's like, ooh, we can't seem to get our groove back. And
right.
But all of us are like this. And I'm going to say, no matter what age you're saying, but really in our age, like I said, I hear it all the time. Oh my God. I have people saying like, oh God, like people struggle with if they got to go into work the week they have their children. It's like, you did it every single day.
I know.
But we've become very complacent and unconditioned to what a socialized life was that we've done forever.
Right. But maybe it's never going to go back to the way it was. Maybe
I don't think it will.
The new normal.
I don't think it ever will. There's no question that COVID is, there's a mark. There's a mark now. On,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of what that is.
It's a historic event. We've talked about even
the children born and, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All kinds. But what I personally struggle with is I'm constantly trying to understand myself to go, is it COVID or is it because I'm just that age?
Let's talk a little bit about if this is our new normal, if mm-hmm. this is my new normal
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling overwhelmed, mm-hmm. what is it I can do to, and this is not going to change, it's not going to get better, which mm-hmm. I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud because I don't even really know that I've accepted that in my mind, but let's say that it is what it is. And again, another reason why this is happening now is because historically, because it's been going on so long now, I have historical data to look at. November, December, and January are my worst 3 months of the year, year over year. And mm-hmm. it makes sense. There's a lot happening.
It is for a lot of,
close the cottage, the holidays, the January blues, the winter, you know, all this kind of stuff. Is there something that we can do that would help?
Help? I don't know. I will say, as you're talking about what the worst months are for you, I've had this conversation twice this week, but historically with people I work with,
yes,
this time of year, I would always have
it's the toughest.
These conversations in our team meetings, which is everybody needs to be very aware. It's been a long year. Not only has it been a long year, now you're heading into holiday season, which is added pressure, right?
100%.
So take out, I always reference you, the Danielle quote of like, this isn't even real life, right? Oh, when you gosh, like, when you think about work and it's like, that's not even real life. When you head into holiday seasons, this week I said, this is the time. As people have said, I'm tired. And I'm like, oh God, that's right. This is my time that I got to start making these conversations happen to say like, you got to have, do you have your tools in place?
What are my tools?
Well, I don't, that's different for everybody, but it's like, do you have your tools in place? Because it's now everybody's already exhausted going into the end of a year. And then it's holiday season. And then there's all of this stuff goes on. So people have to ensure you've got your tools in place to know, oh God, it's happening. I'm starting to hit that. To know when you need to take a break, when you need to take a step back, you need to go, I'm getting overwhelmed, I need to go reference my tools. That's up to each individual person to understand what that is, but it's to be extremely aware of that at this point, right? Because we're in this season.
Yes.
But that happens.
Do you know what your tools are?
And actually, that's less and less, quite honestly. I don't really even have much of the desire for that.
Do you think, like, well, that's, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Do you think it's a problem if I say cannabis is one of my tools?
No, not at all. Because that looks different for everybody, right?
It feels, when I say it, it feels like there's not space for that. And I don't understand.
Still today?
Yes, still today.
Because people use cannabis for so many things. For pain, for mood, for whatever. It's like, I feel it's more accepted now than ever. Like, well, I don't even know why you would feel bad to say that.
I don't know. And I don't know if it's just coming from inside my own head or if it's an external source. But
it's a little bit of both.
And even if, it could be a little bit of both. And even if you were talking earlier about going through this point in our life where sleep is difficult for a lot of people, right? And I've gotten so much benefits from cannabis with respect to my sleep.
Okay, well, I'd be interested to know what's happening. I've tried that. I've tried this oil that I got. It did nothing.
Okay, what's the oil that you tried?
Sleepies or...
Or Night-Night?
Night-Night.
Okay.
Did nothing.
Night-Night, and here's me giving cannabis advice. No, I'm going to tell you, which I'm not qualified to do. I'm going to tell you what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Night-Night is a product that is a CBD product. And I know everybody looks at the package and they're like, oh, it's got THC in it too. The amount of THC that's in like a so-called pure CBD product is trace amounts. It's a processing issue. There has to be a very, very, very small amount in order to make the product.
Yep.
But it's not going to get you high. And it's not considered a THC product. When I had to start this process, the information that was available to me is like, you always start with a CBD product. So you tried a CBD product and you didn't feel like you got a tremendous amount of benefit out of it.
None.
I feel like it's worth it for people to try because there's some people get tremendous benefit and some people don't. And there's everything in between. And it's, you know, it's not a big risk. The next question where that didn't work for you, the next question would be, would you be willing to try a product, an actual THC product?
Yeah.
So you just need to find the right way to consume it, whether that's, you know, inhaling or edibles or whatever, and the right dose and the right kind. Mm-hmm. Because it is a little bit like different strains of cannabis make you feel differently, and some you like and some you... So it's a bit of trial and error, and I feel like people, it's a lot of commitment. I feel like the benefits I have reaped from it were worth the effort it took me to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that because I can fall asleep. I can fall asleep between 10 and 12 o'clock, but then...
How long does it take you to fall asleep?
Probably up to an hour. Like, we've got a TV in the bedroom, right? So, so we're...
And are you kind of like dozing on and off at the beginning and then you shut off the TV and you're out for the night?
TV never gets shut off.
Oh, the TV's on all night?
Yeah.
I feel like that's not supposed to be a good thing.
So this is... So here's the thing. So when we were camping all summer...
Yeah.
I sleep fantastic in the trailer. Now, let's be real. I'm drinking every time I'm going to sleep in that trailer.
Yes, but they actually they say that alcohol, people think alcohol makes them sleep better, but it's actually not a good quality sleep.
Because at home, even if I have two glasses of wine on a Tuesday or a Thursday evening.
And I think there's a tie-in to perimenopause and whatnot there, too, because I think they say, you know, women who used to have a glass of wine and it helped them sleep good, now it's not the same experience.
Now, when we are by ourselves in the trailer, we always leave the radio on just a little bit. Like, we can still kind of slightly hear it in our bedroom.
What is the purpose of that?
Because I can't have silence.
Oh, you can't have silence.
Well, you know that. I mean, when have you ever walked into my house that there is not music playing?
Yeah, like, no, that's true.
There's never silence in my home.
So I see two paths in this conversation right here. One path is saying, well, everything they're saying, you know, out there in the world says that you shouldn't have any noise or stimulation or screens for sleep, right? True. But then this other direction that this conversation can take us is this podcast I've been listening to called Maintenance Phase.
Okay.
Where they debunk the junk science behind
diets,
health fads, and nonsensical nutrition advice. Okay. And they did an episode about sleep.
Oh.
And, you know, I would need to go back and listen to it again in order to really make points. I highly recommend it. And basically, this is incredibly reductionary, but all of this stuff, no screens 30 minutes before you try to go to bed.
Yep.
And melatonin and whatever. Basically, there's like a million little tips and tricks to help people fall asleep and stay asleep and help them with their sleep problems. You can try whatever's not harmful. It may or may not work for some people, but it's basically the way we treat it in our society. It's like, oh, you can't fall asleep. You're on your screens too much. But it doesn't work for everybody. So there's no point in
shaming people. Oh, no question. Because Neil's on his screen all the time. And literally the minute he puts his phone, like 5 seconds. Has no trouble
sleeping.
Boom. He's asleep and he is sleeping.
Right.
So I get it is different for everybody. For
me. So you fall asleep, but you can't stay asleep?
No, I'm up as of 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm up and then I'm awake until 5:30. And then I get another hour. I'll doze off until my alarm goes off.
I have heard that from so many predominantly women, but there may have been men too, our age, who say, no trouble falling asleep. Wake. It's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning seems to be like the magic hour. And then same idea.
Yeah.
I am not experiencing that problem at all.
Well, that's fantastic. Like, good.
I'm going to credit the cannabis. My issue with sleep, well, you know I've had a lot of issues with sleep, but my issues with sleep right now are I have a hard time falling asleep.
Yeah.
But once I'm out, I sleep like a corpse.
Yeah.
Like it's very profound. It's very deep. Sometimes I don't even wake up to pee anymore.
Oh, that's
I've
good.
Slept yeah. 8 hours. Like that never happened to me. I don't do the nightmares, sleepwalking, night terrors as much. So that's way better.
Yep. Yeah, I don't. And that's why it's like, it's very difficult to identify, well, what the problem is when I'm like going through my regular day and I can recognize what is wrong with you, Kim? Like you used to be able to do this shit and you can't do it. So it's like, I don't sleep. I'm perimenopausal. There was COVID. Like I don't, who's to say? How is there like one thing that
okay, so I had no idea that we were going to both be so much in the same place.
I know, I feel really bad because I feel like you thought that I was going to help you with something. And now I'm going, oh, no. I'm like, I'm way worse than you.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm managing my disappointment. But I still feel, well, to your point earlier, I feel like talking about this stuff can also be helpful.
Oh, there's no question. There's a huge...
I wanted to whine about it.
There's
I wanted
huge,
to whine about it and I wanted to whine about it to you.
Population... And actually, I feel like we have talked about this before, made mention of, like, I know that you wanted to do a sector of the podcast about perimenopausal and all this stuff. Because it is true. There is a large population of us going through it, even though we all know we're supposed to be talking to it and there's not as much stigma to it. It's like we are all still in our own brains going, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. And it's funny because, like, I'll talk to a common friend of ours, and she was at a different stage. So it's like when I kind of stopped having my periods, and I'm not menopausal yet.
Oh, it hasn't been 12 months.
No. But when I started entering into the like, oh, it's every 2 or 3 months, or oh, you know what I mean? This erratic. That's the other thing. It's like, what is this? You've never, like, you gain weight in a place you've never gained weight. And it's, and you can't, there's nothing that moves it.
I know. I've stopped trying. Like, I have put that to bed. And I know there's things that I could be doing right now that would help me feel better, which is a little bit part of the mind fuck, because it's like, I can identify things that would probably help me feel better, and somehow I can't get them done.
Yep.
You know, it's like this circle.
Yeah.
This revolve. So I know that when I exercise, I feel better. I feel like getting up to exercise is the physical equivalent to climbing Mount Everest. It's like, I do not.
Ah. Well, I will say that is probably the biggest thing, because I feel like you are very much the same. When we were younger, we were very, very, very active people. We knew what we should be doing. We were doing it. We were, and that's the biggest thing for me. I sit on my bed and I know, and I go, okay, so this week, actually.
But I feel like I'm so happy there. Aren't you happy
sitting on your bed? Well, I am super happy, but like when I look at the big picture, I'm not, because then I wake up the next day and go, what the fuck? Why didn't you get up and do something? So this week I took a slightly different approach and I said to Neil, at 8 o'clock, I'm going downstairs and I'm getting on the treadmill for a half an hour and I'm going to run. And he's like, oh, you're going, oh, okay. And I'm like, yep. And I'm just saying that because I feel like I need to commit and I need to be. And he was like, okay. And I did it. I did it. I did it once.
Okay. The first thing I want to say is good for you. And it must have felt great. And why can't we keep it up? We used to.
I don't know. And this is the other thing about the whole post COVID though.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as when I joined running with Katya. Oh my God, I'd get home from work and I'd eat supper and my kids were little then too. And
I remember.
Like, and I'd be like, I don't want to fucking leave the house again. But it was like, oh, no, because people are waiting for me and I'm going to, okay. None of that stuff happens anymore.
I remember listening to you at this point in your life that you're referencing. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that sounds horrible. But in those days, one of the things I had to kick me out of the house was it gave me a break from doing the things I didn't want to be doing at the house. Like, I'd rather go to the gym and go to a class than, I don't know, do laundry. And now, because my downtime is my own, I can do fun things. It's like, that's all I want to do. It's like I had more responsibilities. So exercise was a guilt-free way to escape some of these responsibilities.
When the kids were younger, when you say I had so many responsibilities, I feel like it actually helped me because there was never downtime.
Well,
so it was like you were just like moving from one thing to the next. Now I come home, I barely even get dinner ready for Neil. Like, I'm like picking up the pre-cooked shit.
And doesn't that feel like an insurmountable amount of effort?
No, like, it doesn't. Like, I feel like a failure, actually. I feel like a failure.
Okay.
Because I have less to do, why am I not cooking him putting the tenderloin in the oven and putting the potatoes on? And because it's easy. It's not a lot.
No, I know. And I feel that too. But I also feel, like what I'm doing now, which is basically nothing, is
the complete basics is what it is.
Exactly. The complete bare minimum. I feel like that is the mental and physical, that's all the mental and physical capacity I have.
Yep.
So on one hand, I feel like,
yep,
whew, you got that done. That's the best you could do. And then the other hand, it's like, are you fucking kidding? Yep. Move your ass.
Yes.
And yes. I hate that cognitive dissonance, that
yes,
back and forth. It's like,
Yes. I know.
I thought of a couple things I wanted to say. Hang on. What you're saying makes me think of that expression, I'm not going to say it right, but I know what it is. If you want something done, give it to a busy person. If you want something done, give it to a busy person. Okay.
I've never heard of that saying, but okay.
It's like the more you're doing, the more you can do, and the less you do, the less you can do.
100%.
It's like the law of inertia. Objects in motion stay in motion. Objects at rest stay in rest. And it just feels like, why did we stop? Hang on there. If you want something done, give it to a busy person. Oh, and it feels like after COVID, to your point about COVID and feeling unconditioned or complacent or whatever those words we're going to use to describe this state, it's like the less you do something, the harder it is to do it. And I remember learning about that through my journey with anxiety, because my therapist told me that one time. Mm-hmm. The less you... Because I think I was talking about traveling.
Oh, your therapist? I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding.
It's okay. It's okay. I think I was complaining about having to travel, because I have a lot of anxiety around traveling, to the point that it really takes the enjoyment out of it for me. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, I'm just not going to travel. I don't need to travel. We have the cottage. I don't need to travel. I don't need to ever take another trip again. And he said, just so you know, the less you do it, the harder it's going to be to do.
Right.
You can do that, mm-hmm. but then you will at some point need to travel for whatever reason, and it will be worse.
Yeah.
When your get up and go has got up and went, how do you get up again? That's the question. And then we're back to the tools.
That's exactly the question. That's the question I've been asking myself for a couple of years, because it's like this version of myself is not what I've been used to for 25 years, 35 years, right? So then you're kind of faking it. But you know what the biggest thing for me is that I've thought about? I wish I would have appreciated, and I don't know that this is possible for people, because when you're in something, you only know. But I wish I would have appreciated how I looked, how I felt, how I did the thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest joke in life, is that we don't have the present mind. Not many people do anyway. Don't have the present mind of...
Well, our like society, our culture doesn't really help us do that either.
A pulse of going like, oh my God, like this is good. Like, yeah.
I understand that we've made a lot of incredible advancements in technology and whatnot.
It's horrible.
And think about how much more...
It's not positive.
All of these people feeling like they're overwhelmed, and I know there are probably plenty of people out there that don't feel that way. I would really like to talk to you. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are feeling overwhelmed. Our lives are not getting easier. We're not paring down. We're not trying to make... Like, our society and our culture is not trying to help that. It's just compounding more and more and more and more. Where is that breaking point?
What I'm saying is, what we fill our time with today, it's very easy for us to not be busy. When we're talking about when we're younger, Danielle, even when we had little kids or whatever, and we're doing all these things and we're actively doing them, we did not have a tool that was super easy to go, well, this is taking my time right now. I'm going to fill my time with this, and this is what's going to take my attention.
Are you saying that the technology has made it easier for us to procrastinate?
Yeah.
Well, that ties into part of the reason why we feel like we're overwhelmed and we can't get anything done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just made a mental connection there.
Mm-hmm. We all know, oh my God, what technology has done. I mean, I've got grandchildren. Every Sunday, everybody comes over for family dinner. And I'm looking around a living room, and outside of myself and a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, everybody is sitting on the phone.
Right.
And I go, you know, then I get in tantrums sometimes, and I go, well, I'm not fucking doing family dinner anymore. This is ridiculous, because the whole point is we're supposed to be together, but everybody's just this.
You know,
and I got to say, my grandkids only know their parents to do this.
Oh, come on.
That's the first generation. Honestly, the first generation that they know nothing else. It's unfortunate, because there's never going back, and I understand that.
Why is it bad, though?
Why is it? Because exactly what we are talking about right now. It is making us all lazy. We are not engaged. We are not...
I see the connection there. But the first thing I want to say to that is, people on their phone bothers me much less than it bothers you.
Okay.
mostly really doesn't bother me unless I'm trying to have a direct conversation with someone. And even still...
But it's probably because you don't have a husband that's on his phone.
Well, Paul's...
Like, your main person in your life is Paul. And Paul is not connected to his phone all the time.
24 hours a day.
Oh, he is?
He's either... If he's not on his phone, it's because he's on his iPad. When I wake up in the middle of the night to
I don't know. I've just spent like two to three hours upstairs. He hasn't had technology at all.
Yeah, it's on the couch. So he gets up to talk to you and he's standing up. He's not holding it in his hand. If you go back to that couch, he's got a phone or an iPad with him. Really doesn't bother me at all. Maybe it's because I don't really care if anybody's actually listening as long as I just get to talk. No, that's not true. No, it really doesn't.
I don't know.
Very... It's like not a thing. I feel like that's a common thing in couples. You hear that over and over. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm cross-stitching. You're on your phone. We're watching something on TV. Fine by me.
I don't know. I said to Neil the other night, I'm like, we're complete losers.
Then there's a lot of losers. Because isn't that what everybody's doing now? I find that so interesting, though, the part about the technology makes it easier and more entertaining to procrastinate. There's more fun 100%. Things to do now because than there used to be. Because there's
something to actually... Before technology, if you were just sitting there, it would be like, okay, I should get up and do something. Now everybody's just so engaged, number one, if you're on any type of social media. You're like reading, you feel like you're connecting. You're not.
Oh, it's like a false
sense of...
Social.
Yes. Oh my God, of course it is.
That's so interesting. Now, I will say this to you. When you said, you know, when we used to just sit there watching TV, I was never able to do that my entire life. Either I had to have, you know, when I was young, maybe it was a toy, or and then I got a little bit older and I had some crafts.
Yep.
Or if I didn't have a craft to do in front of the TV, I would read a book at the same time I'm watching TV.
Yep. You could read a book and watch TV.
Yeah, you like read during...
Ooh, I really have to concentrate when I'm reading a book.
Oh, I couldn't do that now at my age, but I'm talking about when I was young and you read during the commercials.
Jane and Dick went up the hill.
No. Like, come on, like Bobbsey twins. Come on. Oh my God, did I ever tell you my Bobbsey twin story?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I fucking loved the Bobbsey twins when I was... whatever age that was that I was reading Bobbsey Twins.
Yep.
Fucking loved them. Read every single one of them at least once. And then you matured or you progressed to Nancy Drew.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Fucking love them. So when I had the boys, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a Bobbsey Twin book and read it like a chapter book to them because I loved it so much when I was a kid. This is going to be great. Of course, because I'm obsessive compulsive, I have to order the number one first Bobbsey Twin book in the series, which was actually originally published in, I don't even know, like the 1920s or the 1930s. It's very fucking old. And I opened the book up and started to read it. I didn't even get three pages in. I'm like, oh, okay, this book did not age well. And this was like in 2005 before we were even really talking about this. I was like, okay. Away the book goes. I was so disappointed.
Oh.
I fucking love the Bobbsey Twins. What was the point of the Bobbsey Twins? What were we talking about before that? Reading chapter books? No, that wasn't it. Never not talking about